The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
Alles einsteigen, bitte! Türen schließen! Das Blumenpflücken während der Fahrt ist verboten!
This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
There's no love. There's the love. I'm feeling the love.
That's not the love. That's Richard.
Pete, we're on. Pants up.
On a dark and rainy night, a walk in the Black Forest, episode 233 rides forth. On tonight's show, 1211, goring the gore, millions of peaches, punching the llama, what's in your lasagna, Woolworth mailbag, all that, and a stuffed fruity loaf.
Ooh, with raisins.
On the left.
What do you mean?
Friends El Rom.
Just generally.
On the really?
Left. Oh, fair enough. That's
more a right kind of thing. Hanging left politically.
Hanging in the centre, I reckon. Really? Never had so much fun.
Isn't that comfortable?
Off.
I'd find that
man's
uncomfortable.
Man's not a camel. By Friends El Rom.
Man is not a camel.
In man fact, is not man, a camel.
Man is also not a llama, which is more appropriate for this program.
That's also quite true.
Man is also a not a woman.
In the Black Forest. 2RRR 88.5 FM. It's around about... 23 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock, and thank you very much to the people from Trampoline.
Yes, taking you through with all things Swiss-French.
Indeed.
Mm. They're not the people from Trampoline.
They are
Chris
Trampoline.
And Mate.
They are.
Yeah.
I know, but I was just being generic.
All right. Yeah, let's be generic.
I was trying to be fucking clever.
That's all right.
Hey,
next time I see you, hey, how you doing, guy from Woolworth?
Exactly. No. The collective term for us is, I believe, wankers from Woolworth.
Oh, yeah.
Assholes from Woolworth.
Depends who you ask.
Dickheads from Woolworth.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much summarises it for me. Yeah, I think so. So you've got to have the right collective noun. They're the guys from Trampoline.
I never understood that whole collective noun thing.
Don't you?
No, I don't think they taught that to us at school.
Fair enough. I like the phrase a carnival of wankers. That's one of my ones I heard this week.
Did you make that up?
No, I heard that this week.
That's very good.
Someone referred to them as a carnival of wankers.
Wow.
Isn't it more like a house of wankers?
Possibly.
No, that's Parliament.
Or a cabinet.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Oh, misunderstood.
Ooh, political.
Oh, I don't know. You're trying...
You're trying to bring some culture to the show.
Lift it to a
do
level.
Do I have to bring an instruction manual for every gag?
Yes, please do.
Yes, please do.
Today, yes.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Which is weird, because we just followed a Swiss-French program. It's nowhere near hungry.
Did you have any fondue?
No.
I've been eating so much stuff since I got here, and at any point, you could have said, I'll have some of that.
Yeah, but at no point did you offer it. And I didn't want it anyway.
Well, okay. Well, don't complain.
Okay, fine. I'll stop
them. It's the raw bison that you really
I have an ideological problem with Richard's. How do I put this?
What is it? What is it in this world where it's like manners? I'll just put it out there. Manners.
Mm.
Manners. Manners. They're fucked.
They are.
Now, manners. Why do you feel as though... I don't know why you're putting me down, because Pete actually did one at the top of the show.
I know he got that, too.
And I wrote that down. Dangle.
Now, manners. Yes. They're the big blocker, aren't they, in the social context? It's like, you know, if Abe was hungry, and he is, and he wanted some of what I was eating...
He should just walked up and took it.
He felt as though he couldn't
hit him over the head
fully,
with a truncheon.
You know, couldn't fully... ask, can I have some of that?
Please, sir,
sandwich.
Can I have some more?
That beautiful salad sandwich that you brought in, Richard.
With the bison on it.
So, is this similar to the manners problem that we have, say, on a bus? Metaphorically for you two.
Oh,
but
exactly the same, Pete. Exactly the same, and it just gets up my goit. Why don't you tell everybody about it, because it just... Ooh, I can't even talk about
it. So you're on a bus, right? You're sitting there, and you have either a person singing... Which happened this week.
Oh,
really?
But the worst of it, yeah.
A person wanting to talk to you?
Can I just say, dude?
Yeah.
You've been catching the wrong bus. If you keep catching the Australian Idol bus, then you're going to have people singing all the time.
Particularly Mark Holden.
Yeah, see, Mark wants to talk to anyone, and that's really because he's a tool. Have you noticed his hair getting larger? I've seen that on the ads. His hair gets larger and larger every week.
He's got a dial on his back that you wind as
really?
The series goes on, yeah.
No, he's sponsored by Rogaine.
And the third annoying one on the bus is the...
People on the bus?
For me, the ones who actually act completely and utterly inappropriately, you know, farting, burping, belching, you know, that sort of stuff.
Picking their nose,
picking their nose,
the
doing
windows.
That sort of stuff. And you know, you sit there and go, well, I'm not allowed to say anything to them, you know, it's a bit impolite, I can't really do that, you know. Just sit there and just go, and they sit there and go, and you go, look, no, I can't really say anything, you know, just let it go. We should be polite enough to say, hey, mate, keep your gastric smells to yourself.
Well, I've got two issues with that.
Yes.
For starters, how can you?
Well,
if you've got a fart that wants to come out, it's going to come out. Right? You can't say, oh, well, I might wait 3 stops and then let it out there. You can't, can you? You've got to sit there and you've got to go...
I'm not even getting involved in this.
Yeah, but that's silent, though. That's silent, and I have no issue with that. But it's the ones who just show absolutely no... respect or courtesy for their fellow passengers in the bus. Oh, come on, Pete. Everybody does it. If you're going to let it out, you might as well just let it out instead of sitting there with this, you know, grimace on your face with this thing leaking out. I mean, everyone knows because they're smelling it. They're looking at your face. They know it's you.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go...
See, my problem with that, and it's a simple problem, is that, well, I don't know. I'm trying to articulate this in a way that makes me seem smart and intelligent talking about farts.
Yeah, you want some thinking.
Which is
music?
Hard. No. Which is really, really hard. Despite doing this program for 5 years, I've never actually found out a way to articulate an intelligent discussion about farting.
You can do what I do.
What?
Refuse to participate.
That is the intelligent answer. Mm. No, my point here is a simple one. People seem to have a complete disconnection from the people around them. And that, I can sort of get that. But what's even worse is that if it actually does offend you, or does, you know... And farting, I guess, is the more sort of physical manifestation, but it is the annoying behaviours, it is the, you know... That we're just too impolite to actually... too polite to go up and say something to people.
It's like BO.
Or, because if you do, the other possibility, apart from saying something... Is you going to get your head kicked?
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the other thing that would happen.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, this is about people who also have bad personal hygiene. People who don't wash. People who don't use deodorant. It's a hot country. I don't understand why teenage boys don't wear deodorant. Don't their mothers go, son, you stink? And, you know, if their mums are 107.
It's to pick up smelly hoes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. They're attracted by the smell.
See,
some suburbs.
It's a real bizarre concept that and I'm glad you bring up manners, because it's one of my pet peeves that we as a society cannot in any way, shape or form allow impolite comments to occur.
Hmm.
You know, we accept, and I think that then extends to the way we deal with our government, to the way we deal with politicians, to the way we deal with the horse shit we're fed by
John Howard.
By John Howard and the media and whatever else. Oh, well, you know, and I'll give you a real physical manifestation of this. I was at a...
Well, can you do it after the show? Because, I mean, it's a small studio.
I've got to clean up and do all that sort of stuff. But I will actually present. I'll present you a physical.
Oh, please okay. Don't present me with
this
anything.
Is a demo.
No, it's not. But it's a real example. I was at a function where I got to meet the Premier. And
the
I was
Premier of what?
Premier of New South Wales, Maurice Yemma. And I was told very clearly that I had to call him Mr. Premier, Premier, or you know, if he came up to you, you could call him Mr. Yemma.
Hmm. Now, did he have to call you Mr. Pete?
No. No,
oh, that's just
he
cruel.
Didn't even know my name. He had to look on my name badge, which was handwritten in blue texter, because I wasn't even on the invite list.
I was going
to
say, were you even invited?
I crashed the function.
Oh, nice, dude.
You know, I go out to him and I'm going, okay, he's a politician. He represents an electorate.
He does. In fact, he represents us.
Or does he?
Or
does he? Let's get down to it. Does he?
His position.
Does he?
His position description talks about representing an electorate.
Right, okay.
So you have to sit there and you have to give him this.
I didn't vote for the Cross City Tunnel, did you?
No. I've never driven on the Cross City Tunnel.
You've never driven.
That's also a good point. but the idea that I have to give this artificial respect to this man to say, Mr. Premier, I said, g'day, Maurice, how you doing? And the look of, and it's the incorrect terminology, but...
Did he recognise you?
No, he didn't.
Said, you're from Wubba.
Yeah, I think he did.
You're Pete from Wubba.
That's the one. You got me into radio. But... It's the fact that, you know, and the people behind him, they're like his minders, were just aghast. The look of aghast on their faces was like,
you don't listen to Wubba.
Yeah, exactly. It was like I went up to his cat and surgically removed, well, everything out of it. The look of...
What did you actually say?
I just said, g'day, Maurice, how are you doing?
I think it was...
That was it!
I think it was more the
fact
that...
It was like
that,
I went up to his grandmother and said, fuck, you're ugly! Yeah. That's the sort of look that I got
but
on
I
their
mean,
face.
You can understand their response, because it's not like his name's Maurice.
That's also...
It's a slight problem.
It was a pity I did it to Bob Carr.
it's not really not going to work there. Yeah.
Yes, anyway.
That's why I didn't hit you at the same time.
Yeah, well, exactly. I won't talk about that.
What are you doing?
Come on.
Look, he's got this little movement with he's got these three fingers positioned, his fingers hovering over the start button for the CD player. He wants to go to a song, but the interesting thing is the fact that Pete and I are talking is stopping him from going for a song. So you've really got to wonder who's actually controlling this studio. Don't
acts.
Just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
We made it outside. We made it about a block. We made it at least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was if they had detonated.
Yeah, detonated.
They
detonated.
Take down a building.
All the way down. I was watching it and running. Ran up with. And then you just sort of this cloud of shit chasing you down.
I got an eyewitness who said there was an explosion on floor 7-8. 7-8.
Of the 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, yet we bombed Afghanistan. Did we miss? Did we, like, lob something and just whoop? We hit Afghanistan.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Good. Fire. Hit it.
So you mean you're telling me that this guy, who's the mastermind of all the evil in the world, you're telling me that the evil evildoer is hooked up to a kidney machine in a cave in Afghanistan?
Target 4. We're taking the other truck out.
Roger. Way smooth by the truck.
We're going to go over there and bomb the shit out of this country and kill civilians?
Move in right there.
To find a guy who's running from cave to cave hooked up to a dialysis machine?
Roger. He's wounded. Hit him.
Am I stupid?
All right, hit the truck. Hit the truck and him. Go forward of it and hit him.
Are we stupid?
Roger.
I say to our enemies, we are coming. God may show you mercy. We will not.
This country, most powerful in the world, has been, in effect, semi-immobilized today by these terrorist attacks. And we can only hope that they are now all over.
Go back to 1984. It's the permanent war. The way to get the public completely willing to give up their rights is to have them constantly afraid of some external enemy that's out there that you can't see, but it's always there and is never going away. That's the war on terrorism.
An Abe production. There we go.
Wow. I'm flummoxed.
I'm flummoxed as well.
I take full responsibility for those who are offended.
Fair enough. No, I'm definitely not offended. That's excellent, dude.
Thanks, sir.
Excellent. We should say this is Warfare for us, 2RRR 88.5 FM, 10 minutes to the hour of 11 o'clock. And yes, on Monday was the 5th anniversary of September 11. Mm-hmm. Or more particularly, the attacks on the World Trade Center.
Just to get there, mm-hmm. It annoys me mm-hmm. that it's called September 11 because that's the US dates. We should be calling it...
The 11th of September.
We should be calling it 11-9.
We should.
Oh, what about 11-9? 11-9. Oh, no, it's 11-9.
Exactly, but we don't. We are addicted to the doctrine of American mm-hmm. culture, unfortunately.
It's true because they can sell it, you see. You can sell it. Unfortunately, it's become a marketable entity.
It's a brand. Hmm. It is, and it is. I agree with you totally. It's an incredibly unfortunate concept. But interestingly, tonight, before I came in to the show, I was watching a little bit of the... there's a documentary produced by Canadian Television that SBS is showing just about to finish. And it's called The Path to 9/11. And what was quite fascinating for me...
Unlike the one that was on Channel 9 or 7, mm. also called The Path to 9/11, oh, that yes. dramatisation?
Made by Disney.
Mm.
That was it. Did awesome. You see any of that?
No, I didn't see
it. It was horrendous. It was sort of
go
like,
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, I know. Harvey Keitel. And Marky Mark.
There's lots of people in
really?
It.
Marky Mark was in it. Mm. Bastard. But anyway.
I believe he actually played the entire Funky Bunch. They were unwilling to join him for the escapade.
That beautiful digital good technology days. Allows mm. things to happen. Interestingly, to me, the documentary, I only watched the first 50 minutes of it, but it was a... How do I put this? It finally demonstrated to me the fundamental difference between left and right, and I don't think left and right exists much anymore. I think we are dealing with you know, true conservatism versus semi-conservatism.
The middle ground,
neoliberalism almost.
Because I guess as society's moved more towards the right,
yeah.
the left, the ruling left elite have moved to the centre.
Correct. But well, it really drew the difference between the two in the most sharp contrast I've ever had. There's Clinton, 1995. Clear option, worked out Bin Laden funded the original attacks on the World Trade Center in 1993. Mm-hmm. Had evidence, was told by the CIA, we can get this motherfucker, we can take him down. Know where he is, know where he's going to be, mm. we can get him. Clinton says, how many civilians are going to die? The CIA says, yes, sir, there will be collateral damage, mm. somewhere in the vicinity of 200. Clinton says, no, I'm not going to kill 200 innocent civilians to get one man.
Yeah, right.
What is the current body count in Iraq of innocent civilians?
Well, that's true.
37,000.
Yeah, but they're not ours.
No. No, and these wouldn't have been either, funnily enough. And, but, you know, I sit there and I realise that is the fundamental difference. Had Bush been in a position now... with the same option, take out Bin Laden and you'll kill 200 people. He says, I don't want to kill 200 people. I want you to bomb the building he's in, the building next door to it, the building next door to it, the building next door to that, and kill thousands. I don't care. Get Bin Laden.
Or look at the amount of people who've been killed. Just to get Saddam Hussein, who actually has no link to 9/11, to Osama Bin Laden or any of the mm. people involved.
Yeah.
But the collateral damage, which is now in the hundreds of thousands of people,
yeah.
and the $1 billion a day, that's $1 billion a day, US, okay, is being spent, and the death toll is rising, right? We're talking civilians, and the figure that amazes me was in the Siege of Fallujah in July, I guess it was 2 years ago now, In the space of 3 weeks, they had, I think there were 600 civilians killed. Out of the 600 civilians, 400, I think it was 430 were men.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was 200 and something were women, and the remainder were children under the age of 4. And it worked out that something like 68 children under the age of 4 had been killed in 3 weeks in a siege. Now, you'd have to ask yourself, is that collateral damage worth it?
Well, they shouldn't have picked up guns.
Well, I suppose that's true. You know, the problem is they make the guns so small for 4-year-olds these days.
They shouldn't have tried. Those 4-year-olds should not have tried to sneak bombs on a plane. Sorry, I mean, they shouldn't have tried that.
You know what they should have done?
Yep.
Snakes on a plane. It's the only way to do it. But this is the thing. I mean,
jelly snakes on a plane.
Jelly snakes on a plane. But this is the thing. I mean, you do raise a good point that I suppose the thing is, for Clinton to have said, you know, maybe 200 people would have been killed if nothing had come of September 11, right?
Mm.
If nothing had come, or 11th of September, if you wish. If nothing had come of it, we would have gone, 200 people? That's disgusting. I can't believe it. How horrible.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, let's be honest, the organisation that supposedly caused, you know, this great wave of terror, right? And let's say, we'd have to say supposedly at this point, because we've only got one side of the argument. Who knows if it's true? Who knows? Whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
They're cells. They operate independently anyway. So it's like you cut off the head and, you know, you've got other parts that still operate independently of each other. It's like the IRA. If they killed the leader of Sinn Féin, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
The organisation still exists.
So is what we're saying here that if Clinton had gone in 1995, was it?
1995, yeah.
We'd still be in a similar situation. Perhaps not as bad, but still been... Are we bowing to the conspiracy that there's always evil out there?
I've asked myself this question a number of times. What would have happened had Gore won in 2000?
Mm.
And
we'd be a bunch of right-wing Christians and everybody else would be in jail. But
quite possibly.
There'd be lots of walls built.
But
on one side
I asked myself that question. Would September 11 happen? And I think the reasoned, rational answer is more than likely yes.
Mm.
I think that you know, there is a strong, militant... group of people who see death to America as the path to virgins and glory. Yeah. And that's okay, that's going to exist whether Gore was in there, Bush was in there, Lieberman was in there, or, you know, Walt Disney was in there.
But
I think the big problem...
Probably more extreme if Walt Disney was in there.
It probably would have been more extreme if Walt Disney, you know.
Had little moustaches and brown
can
shirts.
Can you imagine Mickey Mouse, you know, ramping over the... No.
Well, they did in World War II. Did you see the cartoon?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the other thing as well is, let's put this into even a wider perspective. What if the CIA hadn't armed Osama bin Laden's forces, hadn't given them missiles, hadn't given them the money, hadn't given them the equipment to do their own little dirty little wars in the Middle East and take out other factions, then this person may never have risen to the prosperity and the title that they have today.
Well,
Osama bin Laden would have been some factional leader somewhere, battling whatever, from a rich family. But the fact that he belonged to a rich family that the Bushes supported meant that he was able to get money and arms, which then was in turn
used... But that's
used.
The whole point. Mm. That is the whole fucking point. Mm. That's what he's complaining about.
They made their own devil. They did. That's it. The Americans made their own nemesis.
But then, arguably, then do we get into the rather more deep conversation of the fact that America can't exist without an enemy?
Well, they can't, because that's how their economy works. It's a war economy. You always have to have someone to
fight. And I pose that not as a statement of my own opinion, just as a question.
It's very giving, Pete.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's nice like that.
Give that
he
out.
Helps.
Let you
throw it out there. Let people discuss it.
People the idea that America has to have an enemy. I mean, fundamentally, since 1945, America has had an enemy. And when they didn't, they went and actually create an enemy and create these almost PR concepts. These fucking marketers create this PR concept of, like, the war on drugs. And the war on terror. Nebulous concepts that by their very nature can't have a beginning or an end because there isn't such a thing. You could argue something like World War II had a fundamental beginning and end, and granted most of particularly the beginning was set probably after the war had finished, before the historians worked out what was the point World War II started, you know, day, month, year type stuff. But the end is quite fundamental. It was on surrender of both those things. How can you have an end to the war on terror? It's like saying, I'm going to have an end to the war on diarrhea.
And it also brings into consideration who actually are the terrorists. I mean, there's always been this argument that the terrorist is the person who does what you do, but on the other side. So there's the terrorist and there's the freedom fighter, right? So when we send out, say, special forces groups to go and fight, you know, terrorists, aren't we doing exactly the same thing? Weren't the special forces who go out and burn down villages and put bombs in people's cars and you know, attack civilian populaces? Aren't they actually terrorists, but they're on our side?
That's the issue I've got with frickin' Howard and Beasley today or yesterday, whenever it was, going off about this sort of stuff.
About September the 11th.
Yeah, but they're just Should I just
go into it?
They're just recycling what the Americans want them to say.
Well, to say, so where was it on Monday the 11th? Mm-hmm. Monday was the 11th, right?
Yep.
So Beasley and Howard Carr, I don't know if was this in the news?
Possibly.
They came out and had a United Stand event.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was.
They had a United Stand. It's just happy that the United Stand happens to be someone else's stand.
Yeah, this is not the quote I was after, but anyway. Terrorism is the enemy of all the great religions.
Oh yes, God. I read this from Howard today.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that an awesome statement?
Oh, it is.
It's just a failure in so many ways.
This is one of the
scariest comments. John Stuart Mill.
This is one of the scariest comments I've heard come from an Australian politician.
Yeah.
If it's the quote that you're going to go
into. It is a blasphemy on Islam to the name of Islam to be invoked to justify terrorism. That's the only bit I've got here. But if you've got another bit to add on it. But the thing is, the fact that they categorise, you know, the whole terrorism thing. Mm. And I wish I could find the quote. It's probably further back, but...
There was a quote today, and he was basically saying... George Bush was saying, actually, in the speech that he gave today, was saying that the fight against terrorism will be the main preoccupation of this generation. That's what's going to be happening. So this is the moral and ethical crusade, and he used the term crusade for this generation.
That said, he also once again told people to not take their eye off the prize and focus on the fact that the war on Iraq is part of the bombing of the towers and the Pentagon and the plane that went down in Pennsylvania.
Mm. But
and
how?
Despite four times in the last 3 weeks going... Well, no. Iraq's got nothing to do with 9/11.
Mm. And also Saddam Hussein, they finally released the tapes the other day of Saddam Hussein saying that he had no link to Osama bin Laden because he didn't trust him.
Didn't like him.
No, he didn't trust him, he didn't like him. And he said if he actually wanted to ally with enemies of America, he would have allied with North Korea and, check it out, China.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting statement, I thought. Mm. It's what the Americans won't say.
Don't they realise that communism's gone? Well, sort of.
Was there ever communism anyway?
Mm. Well, in its idealist sense, no. Mm. But one of the quotes from Bush wasn't so much yesterday, but probably just 12 hours ago, wasn't it? Because it was 9/11 over there. The safety of America depends on the outcome of the battle in the streets of Baghdad.
Yep.
Good God.
If we yield to men like bin Laden, our enemies will be emboldened. That's one complete sentence. So...
That's a statement.
Yet again, 12 hours ago, we suddenly have the future of the world linked to Baghdad, which is linked to bin Laden, apparently.
So the likelihood of us ever leaving is extremely narrow.
John Howard has stated on a number of occasions that Australia will not leave Iraq until the job is done.
But what is the job? Can someone please explain to me what
the
job in Iraq is?
No, job description.
No.
Exactly. There's no mission, right?
I looked on Seek and I couldn't find
one.
Why would you tender for a job without a description? I don't get it. You know, if you're putting in a I don't get it either.
But I do not understand why. Okay, if the original intention was to get rid of Saddam Hussein, hey, guess what, guys? He's in jail. Now, what I don't understand is the point where now they've put these new people in charge.
I want to know.
Let's make them an army. So let's take Saddam Hussein's Republican Guards, the one we didn't kill, and let's put them in charge of the police force to do what they did under Saddam Hussein, but for us. So what's happening is now the people who are running the police force are exactly the same torturers who are running Saddam Hussein's police force because the Allies went, well, who are we going to get to run it?
But see, now they're on the Allies' side. They're not torturers.
Exactly.
They're freedom fighters.
They are. In fact, I believe the term interrogator...
Yeah.
And intelligence specialist is
often
used.
I like
used.
The word interrogator because it's got the word terror in it.
Yes, nice. Good thought.
Interestingly, Bush also today has asked Hamid Karzai, is that his name? I think the...
the Afghan Prime Minister?
Yes, and he's also asked his equal fighter for democracy in Iraq.
Whoever that is this week.
Exactly. To honour the names of the 2,900 and something people who died in September 11, not including the homeless and the itinerants that they have no record of and don't exist because there's none of those things in America at all.
Handy that.
To honour them by naming streets in Kandahar in Baghdad after these people.
So let me
now,
get this.
That isn't in any way, shape, or form.
Is that cultural imperialism?
No, it's just fucked.
Just feeds the flames.
It does, you know. Yeah. And can you imagine? There's these people who are going, "What the hell are these people doing in my country? Trying to democratize me when I don't really want to be democratized.
Yeah.
And if I want to be democratized, isn't the whole point of democracy to choose it?
Yes, that's true.
But anyway,
can't be forced to be a democracy.
Well, no. Yeah, no, that is not true, because you can only choose democracy if you're a democracy.
Ah.
Right. If you're not a democracy, you've obviously not chosen democracy.
Yes. Fair point. Philosophical, and a fair point.
So you can you
can't choose anything,
can you
but you can't choose democracy.
Can you democratically choose totalitarianism?
I don't know.
We have now.
Yeah, fair enough. But my point is, so there you are. You're pissed off. You're thinking this is going to be the worst thing in the world. So there you go. You walk up and you see up on there, you know, John Smith, you know...
Boulevard.
Avenue of the Middle East. And you go, this isn't my country.
Exactly. There's no reflection on me.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you've got Halliburton building, you know, imitations of buildings that it's built all throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm. Massive malls in Afghanistan. There are huge malls.
I was watching The Insiders on the ABC on Sunday morning, and there was the poster boy for the neoconservative right media in Andrew Bolt on.
Oh, and isn't he wonderful?
He's a beautiful man. And he was there going, you know, because he was talking to David Marr, and he hates David Marr. And he made a point today, David Marr, he said, you know, you talk about the oppressed middle class. You know, the oppressed middle class in Iraq now have arts, and they can go shopping, and they can watch Friends.
They can
and
consume.
They are a better people for the ability to go to Gap and buy a nice new pink polo shirt from the range of 19 different pinks you can get at Gap. They're better fucking people for that point. And they're not.
Mm. No, of course not.
But that's the story that they're... And granted...
Some people not like Milo Pink.
That's very true. Granted, the idea is that the message is getting through. The message is getting through to the American people, who are really getting annoyed with the idea that they actually do not have a president who actually cares, a president who's interested in what's going on. They don't have a president who's that, you know, knowledgeable about what's going on. And it is getting through, but then you get things like the 5th anniversary of 9/11, and it all just turns back around again.
Well, it does.
And they jump back on message. And that's the really scary thing.
The scarier bit is that just getting some hand signals.
Yeah.
That the more I've lost my, I've lost it.
You lost your train of thought.
Okay, yeah.
As I said, to me, it was just this fundamental problem that we have, that we don't have a diverse enough mainstream media. Got it now. Back in. Go for it.
I apologize because we got other stuff happening in the background as well as talking on here. I've lost it again. No, I've got it. I've lost it. I don't know.
Well,
I got it. I'll go. Hi, how are you?
Good. You going well?
That's it. The more people that click on
to
the fact that this is happening, that, you know, we need to create this evil, this non-existent evil, well, maybe partially existent evil or whatever, this non-existent evil, the more people that click onto it, it doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
You know, and is that supposed to be democracy in action?
No, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not exactly sure what democracy in action is, because ultimately you've got a situation where people can't... I don't know how to construct this, but you've got a situation where people... Their vote in some ways doesn't actually matter.
Mm.
You know, you've got John Howard in Australia, and I can only use Australia as an example because it's just because of our knowledge of this place. But you've got a situation where John Howard is re-elected on the basis, almost solely, of the fact that people don't want their mortgages to go up. And the seats that he survives in are the mortgage belt seats, and they're in New South Wales, they're in Victoria, they're in Queensland, and he survives on that.
Yeah.
And we have this pathetic concept of incumbency.
Mm.
And you know, sure, they go, yeah, John Howard lied about Iraq. Ah, who cares?
What do you feel about Beattie then?
That really scared me, because there's Beattie who effectively admitted that he has been, you know, completely crappy in managing the concept of water and health, and he gets elected on a landslide. Yeah. I mean, granted, the alternatives are never much better, and I think therein lies part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, that's the one thing I think America's got over Australia. At least the alternative is equivalent in some ways. Yeah. It's never. I don't think the Democrats are better, but at least they're equivalent in the sense that you're not going to take a step backwards. It's not like, you know, walking out of your car and treading into a pile of dog turd.
Look, I don't know. I mean, Clinton was a pretty good president, wasn't he?
Clinton, arguably, many people argue that Clinton will be considered to be one of the greatest presidents in the 20th century. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about Clinton, though, being considered that, is that he had extremely good press, similar to Bob Carr. Mm. Now, there is a lot of implied corruption, should we say, in the Clinton regime.
Mm.
A lot of it goes back before he was president, and a lot of it's being covered up because, well, supposedly covered up because he was a governor, right, of Arkansas. Okay, so he's going to be considered something, a bit like George W. Bush and John Howard are going to be considered something because the media was on their side. Okay, they're going to be, oh, you know, he was a great president, or, you know, he was a freedom fighter, or he liberated Iraq, or he liberated this, that, and everything.
Or he didn't have sexual relations with that woman, and there's the other side of it.
But see, that's the thing. But that's going to be his big falling, because the big falling is going to be he didn't have sexual relations with that woman, the rumours have been for some time that he could have allowed the importation of narcotics through South America into Arkansas and then through to the rest of the states.
Hmm.
That was one of the big implications, right? So if he's only remembered as having an affair, so what? As opposed to continuing the drug trade or being involved with, you know, corrupt law firms or whatever it's going to be. So he's lucky in that, or maybe not so lucky, that he's only going to be remembered for that indiscretion as opposed to anything else, because the media were happy enough to not fully invest. The mainstream media were happy enough not to fully investigate those options.
But what is Bush going to be remembered for? I mean,
being an idiot.
There's going to be an element of that. But, you know, the idiot side doesn't really stand. I mean, you've got things like, you know, who was his dad's vice president?
Cheney?
No, it was the guy who couldn't spell potato. Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle,
now,
thank you.
He's been forgotten, and I think the idiot side of Bush will be forgotten. I think Bush's lasting legacy is two pillars, if you will. One is obviously going to be Katrina, and I think Katrina has damaged Bush.
I don't agree with that, Pete, because I think that's very prominent in your head because of what we talked about last week and the documentary and all the stuff that you're thinking about. To me, Katrina doesn't even come on the radar.
Does it? It does for
just as a regular media consumer.
I think it does for African American.
Oh, I agree. It's a big issue, but I'm talking about media coverage.
No, I don't agree. I'm not talking about media coverage. I think if we're looking at some level of historical, you know, not revisionism, that's the wrong word. But looking at Bush in say 15 years time, I think Katrina will be always brought up as one of his great failures. But arguably his greatest failure is Iraq.
But don't you think that there'll always be the counterpoint? Oh, you failed in Katrina, but you liberated people, you defended us against terrorism. And mark my words, Osama bin Laden will turn up at some point or another, and that will be Bush's greatest legacy.
You're right. He will probably catch a bin Laden before he goes.
Come on.
Yeah.
He'd have to. This guy, let's be honest, bin Laden was a CIA operative for decades.
Yeah.
Decades, all right? Yeah. It's an absolute fact. It's not just, oh, what if he was?
Mm.
He was, right?
Yeah.
There is it's highly unlikely they don't know where he is.
Mm.
And even more unlikely that Bush would let any other president capture Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you're right. And that will end up being, if that's the case, that will end up being his lasting legacy.
And they will say it's all been worth
it. But herein lies the problem. We don't have a media that in any way, shape or form is questioning any of this.
It's the copy and paste idea. They just copy and paste what they're told.
There's the copy and paste idea. There's the Fox News problem, which in and of itself is a 45-minute discussion just about the concept of Fox News.
Yep.
There is the fundamental problem of, and Bush stated, and it was in your piece, and it's probably one of the most telling quotes of Bush's presidency, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that permeates every single discussion. It's with Howard. What? Mm-hmm. Did you want weapons of mass destruction?
Exactly.
You know, they weren't there, but they could have been. You know, or
they were. We sold them to them, but they were.
Hussein, you know, he killed the Kurds. You know, he was an evil man. And there's that. It's just that constant.
And yes, he was.
And what it has changed is it has changed the framing of debate in all things about this.
Well, there is no debate, is
there? There is no debate. The debate is always, it's with us or against us stuff. Mm. Every piece of debate is with us or against us.
That's the whole conservative thing, you know.
It is.
That's why left-wing politics can't get up.
Yeah.
Because the conservative view is a very, very black and white view.
Yeah.
And if you're that right wing or conservative or whatever, you have that belief.
Yeah.
That's it. End of story.
Yes.
Whereas the whole left wing thing is all these different people with their own different views.
And it's
hard to get that as a collective voice. You cannot push that because there's always going to be something that people disagree with.
Yeah.
But that's the whole leftist philosophy.
It's a broad church.
You know, and you're not, and that's part of the reason with this country and in the US why it's so hard getting a fucking lefty movement in charge.
Yep.
Because the views are all so differing.
And
you can't pitch that to voters. You know?
And to be left, you do accept other people's views.
That's it. Yeah. That's the whole point.
And that's part of it.
They understand that now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this all came out, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Democrats sat down after the loss of Clinton and worked out how the frig did Bush get in.
Yeah.
And they know this now, so they're shitting themselves. It's like, right, we now understand why it's so hard for us to get in.
Yeah.
How do we get in when all the message is so disjointed across all the people who believe in us?
Whereas the conservative message is clear. I've just started reading a book called God's Politics, which is basically about, you know, the misappropriation of God by the
right. It's the same thing, yeah.
And you know, Bush sent out nearly 1.5 million emails in the day before the election saying, or the Bush campaign basically saying, the Democrats are anti-God, they are going to ban the Bible. The only way, God has chosen George W. Bush, vote for George W. Bush. And if you look at the electoral analysis of the 2004 US presidential election, the one factor that the Democrats did not play was how many Christian conservatives came out to vote in swing states like Ohio on that day. And that was the telling factor. That's what turned Ohio and a few other states, was the swinging Christian conservatives who were basically told God chose Bush.
But the fact that people swallow that is right. The fact that people swallow that, so to speak, is ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous.
The thing is, we are so used to being spoon-fed everything. You look at that Fox News phenomenon, the CNN phenomenon, we are so used to being spoon-fed information without actually even considering it might be a lie, it might be a slight distortion, it could even be a friggin' mistake.
Interest rates.
There will never be a GST.
And we believe it, and we go, you know what? Yeah, of course, it's frustrating from coming, and I am avowed, you know, left, you know.
They've got an ointment for that.
Have they?
Mm. Yeah.
And excellent. Is it made by, like, Alpha Farm?
No, Halliburton, actually.
Halliburton, excellent. It's the bit of oil that's left. I'm a vowed left winger, but it frustrates me beyond all belief that there is no way to punch a message through. And what's even more frustrating and disappointing to the point of almost tears is watching a person like Beasley having to kowtow and say what John Howard says in order to get anything through the media.
Yeah.
And it makes him like a ballless little turd. I hate that, because he's a leader of the party that arguably is much more socially responsible than those tools that are in there now.
Mm.
But he has to sit there and go, well, yes, I fully believe in 9/11, because it's the only way he can get a message through, and it's just a crap message.
Can I bring up something on that point? you make a good point in that that was the only way to get the message through. And you know what? That's exactly what these organisations who are purported to be terrorists say.
Mm.
They say there is no way for us to tell the world that we are being crushed by America, by Israel, by whomever, whichever puppet state America happens to be supporting. So we do these extreme things. So you pay attention. And maybe one of the reasons why these extreme things like suicide bombers and attacks on US embassies and ambassadors being killed is because no one listens. And the only way to make people listen in their mind is to go, here's something really extreme, will you now listen to us? Unfortunately, it doesn't work, civilians get killed, and the message then gets turned around that the people who are going, we're being crushed, it turns around to the people who were being crushed are now crushing our rights, our people, our thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's that whole concept of small target, big target. You know, the idea that, you know, and this is one of the criticisms of Beazley in the two elections he lost to Howard, was that he tried to be a small target. He tried to give Howard small targets and not give him the big message, the big boom, the big thing to hit him with. Because arguably the Conservatives just look at you and go, you're against us.
Mm.
You're evil.
Yeah.
And it's that simplistic good and evil, not, you know, God and no God, freedom fries versus French fries, simplistic arguments that just seem to tap into the mentality of your average, you know, voter.
But unfortunately, the thing that Beazley does is he gives the small target messages. He goes, you know, oh, well, here's this, and you can pick on this, and this, and this, and this, blah, 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 all the way along, because he doesn't have a singular vision. There is no vision. There's no, we want, okay, singular vision, right? Keep Medicare, reinforce Medicare, all right? There's a singular vision. Get the troops out of Iraq, singular vision.
That kind of thing.
That's a singular vision, but he doesn't do that because
But that's the problem. Does he do it because he doesn't believe those things? I think he does.
He probably does.
I think he clearly believes to get the troops out of Iraq is a great thing. I think he clearly believes in Medicare Gold, which was the Labor policy from 2004. Mm. He believes in those things. But we are in such a bad state.
It's because
if someone actually says it, they're not going to get elected.
The problem is, like I was saying before, it's like not every left-wing or Labour-supporting person agrees the troops should come out.
Yeah.
Why not?
Some believe they should stay, some believe they should come out.
Yeah, they're
but pretty much guaranteed, every Conservative thinks they should be there. Yeah. And this is the whole thing again. The Conservatives have very black and white views and everyone supports them, whereas with the left side of things, some people believe this, some people believe that. You're always going to find people who disagree with what the party is saying. For example, Beazley. You're always going to differ. On healthcare, taxes, all that sort of stuff. Generally, the Labour supporters will have varying views. Yep. The Conservatives won't.
They'll all
believe exactly what the party says, and they'll say, yeah, I absolutely fucking agree. That's killing it. And that's part of the problem. When you go to an election and you have all these people who have all differing views, and the only view they really share is they hate the Liberals.
Yeah.
They're really not going to get in because they're voting for all these other parties, they're following their beliefs. Instead, they should be focusing and thinking not who do we get in, but who do we not want in.
Yeah.
And that actually worked. That worked with Pauline Hanson. That actually worked. In fact, the Labor Party and a lot of independents were saying, they actually said, look, you don't have to vote for us, but don't vote for Pauline Hanson. Some Liberal Party people were setting their preferences away from, their second preference, who'd give them to Pauline Hanson if they got it.
Mm.
So people were actively going, let's turn against Pauline Hanson. The Liberal Party did that, like everyone did it, was actually turning away actively from Pauline Hanson. So why can't there be a united front where they go, right, you know what? At this point, there is no balance of power in this country, right?
No.
There is one singular vision. Yeah. One singular neoconservative vision that is propping up, let's be honest, it's propping up an American policy. Okay, we're not even thinking about our own national interest when it comes to trade. We're not even thinking about our own national interest when it comes to the environment, when it comes to anything else. We're purely going along what we think we should, because you know why? Because if you're not with us, you're against us. And if we raise our voices and say, we don't agree with that, guess what? We're against them.
And the retribution, to pardon the pun, that has occurred against a country like Spain, who went against them and walked out of the coalition of the willing, some of the trade deals that have now isolated Spain in Europe. And you saw what happened to France and Germany when France and Germany spoke up against the Iraq War. Yeah. And it's frightening. And,
in fact, to the point where now the Germans have sent troops to Afghanistan.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And it's just, you know, how much power does one country exert? And it's, you know what? It's not Bush. Bush is an idiot. He really is. It's not Bush.
He's not an idiot as he's made out to be in the media, but he's still an idiot.
Yeah, but I'm an idiot in the sense that he's letting this happen.
He's the president of the United States of Unconsciousness, and you're not a fucking idiot if you get yourself into that position.
But he's not running.
I mean it in terms of the fact that he's letting other people do it.
It's not his agenda. It's
Uncle
Dick's? It's a long... Yeah, it is.
Uncle
Dick's
sure, but
it's a long-standing
agenda.
Again,
don't paint him as a complete imbecile.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not at all. But what I'm saying is you need to have... If you have a lovable figurehead, right? Some kind of lovable or not-so-hard figurehead, behind the scenes you can have all your hard nuts, all your ultra-right-wing people who get distracted by, oh, look, you know, he made a funny little thing and he said this incorrectly or whatever. You know, it's just amazing... When you look at how politics works, whenever John Howard is doing something really conservative and wants the agenda changed, he sends out Wilson Tuckey to say something stupid, and all of a sudden the media go and pay attention to Wilson Tuckey, while John Howard just gets the thing through Parliament.
Puts his hat on and goes out into the bush.
Exactly, and that's it. That's how it works. It's the same thing with American politics.
I was in the United States, I was in Chicago about April last year, and I was sitting around a table, I went to a commercial course,
I was at a table with George Bush and Osama bin Laden.
Oh, good
is
man.
Is that what you're going to say?
No. I was at a table at Northwestern University in Chicago, and I was sitting there talking to a bunch of people who had paid $6,500 American dollars to go and do a 5-day course.
Bloody hell.
So it was a lot of corporate people. And I was sitting there chatting to them about, and I actually met face-to-face for the first time in my life a Republican voter. Because I didn't have a lot of contact with Americans up to that stage. So I met a Republican voter, and I'm sitting there going, okay, this is really fascinating. For someone who comes from a fairly right-wing country now, I'm interested to know what happened. 2004, Bush, you know, this was in 2005, Bush won. How? And he goes, you know what the real thing about America is? The real thing about Bush? Every American who votes, a lot of Americans who vote for Bush, believe that if he can be president, so can they. He's the sort of guy that you'd go and have a beer with, barbecue. He's an underdog. He's less like your average Joe, C-grade student at university, you know.
Yeah.
You know, didn't do anything special, you know. Worked in dad's business for a while, you know. Had a bit of a trouble with drugs, found God. He's at least like your average American. And that was the problem with Kerry. That Kerry was considered to be a snob, an elitist.
A war hero.
Potentially the richest president in American history. He's a multi-billionaire. Gore was painted with the same brush.
Mm.
Clinton didn't have that brush. Clinton was a man of the people in many people's eyes. And in fact, arguably, it's quite funny, there's studies in the surveys in the States that say that Clinton's approval rating went up when he didn't have sexual relations with that woman.
Mm.
Because many Americans...
That's not the only thing that went up.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Apparently it was a cigar or two.
And you know, let's take all the philosophical arguments about it. Clinton was a common man. It's the reason Hawke won. It's the reason why Keating wasn't popular. There's an element of commonality,
the voice of the people.
The voice of the people. For some strange reason, people think John Howard is the common man.
How? I do not understand how... Can you honestly look at John Howard and say that is the common man? Mm. Honestly, how is he the common man?
Some weird extreme corner of the gene pool.
It's either a weird extreme corner of the gene pool or the fact that we have a media who's been painting the man as a common man.
Mm.
Anyway.
That's...
I think maybe it's because of the 70s.
You know, could be.
I mean, being in federal parliament that long,
yep,
you're pretty much longer than anybody else.
Yeah.
The fact that he's been in government before, and he was knocked down, Pete.
Yep.
In the 80s, mid 80s,
proving souffles rise again.
Late 80s, yeah. Yep. He was knocked down. You know, kicked out back to the. Was he a backbencher?
He was a backbencher.
And then he fought his way back. He's a little Aussie battler.
He fought his way back,
and now he's the strongest prime minister we've ever had.
He's the Steve Irwin. He's Australian politics.
Exactly. He's the Peter Brock of tree farming.
Now all we need is a fucking stingray.
The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, and offensive line. A Walk in the Black Forest, part of the Junk Collective.
Chip inside her head, and her peach has been switched to overload.
He's been practicing.
She's gonna go to school today. She's gonna stick it in her hole.
Dude, nose. All you had to say was nose.
He always said she was good as gold. And you can see no peaches, cause there are no peaches. What peaches do you need to be told? Tell me what.
Got nothing more.
What do you mean nothing more? I had nothing.
So this is a Walk in the Black Forest, Tuchmalar 88.5.
It'd be nice if you actually joined in and helped me. There's only so many words I can make up.
I was just taking the piss out of you.
I'm going to kick you in the nuts if you sit like that any longer.
I'll do that then. It's around about 35 minutes, the hour of 12 o'clock here on Tuchmalar 88.5 FM. Millions of peaches.
Is that my cue?
That was your intro.
Yeah, fantastic.
I mean, I tell you what, you know, nothing but professionalism, respect, professional respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah, find out what it means to me.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, lubricate your... Oh, never mind.
Find out what she means to me.
Indeed.
Right.
Peaches,
fatty.
So we got a couple of quickies.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. Then we might get on to peaches.
I was going to say, what about peaches?
Yeah.
So during the week, Peaches got a gig.
Yep.
At a new... nightclub,
mm-hmm,
in Leicester Square.
Okay, yeah,
we all know Leicester Square.
She's not
Central.
So she's back from a beefer.
Yes, she is.
She's back from a beefer.
Is that what you call it? A beefer.
A beefer. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's a beefer.
It's a beefer.
She's back from a beefer.
Yeah.
And she's come out of detox.
Yeah.
And she was. Do we do the whole shit like this?
No,
we?
I don't think we really
no, we
do
because
it's no, it's
right.
Yeah, it's wrong.
So. Yeah, so she was offered this gig.
Yep.
To launch this new nightclub. Mm-hmm. She's getting really popular with her little DJing group called the Trash Pussies.
So all you got to do is snort some coke and hang out with a guy called Ping, and you get a DJ career.
Yeah, exactly. And be seen
amazing
in a beefer.
Seen in a beefer.
What was the name of the band?
The Trash Pussies.
The Trash Pussies.
The Trash Pussies. And her
sexy.
Her co-DJ partner buddy pal
Ping.
Is called Fifi Brown.
Oh, Fifi Brown. No Ping.
No Ping. Ping's her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, he's ex now. Okay.
Oh, he's ex.
God, Pete. I don't listen, do
you
I?
You really don't listen.
No, but ask him about Jessica Simpson and John Mayer.
Oh, yeah.
How's Jessica Simpson?
She denies it.
She will deny it.
She denies it. That they're an item.
All right.
No.
Good.
It's amazing.
Don't know where that comes from.
John Mayer.
Feel free to explain it to me at some point. Anyway, so she was offered this gig, and Daddy said no. Because it's a school night.
Because he can see no reason.
It's a school night. Because there
are no reasons.
Now,
get this straight? She's not allowed to DJ because it's a school night, but she is allowed to go to a beefer. She's allowed to order thousands of dollars worth of champagne. And she's
Christelle champagne.
She's also allowed to experiment with what is known colloquially as the...
Blow.
Bullet. So let me get this straight. She's only 17.
Supposedly, we're not journalists.
Supposedly, she can experiment with the bullet. But she can't go out on a school night. You see, this is really going to cramp her style.
She can't yet not go out on a school night. But she can't go out on a school night where she wouldn't have started her set until midnight.
Oh, of course.
But now Daddy's considering making it any school night.
Because Daddy reckons she's as good as gold.
Because she's doing her A-levels.
Colombian gold.
Doing her A-levels.
Is she doing her A-levels?
She's doing her A-levels.
A for what?
In smack, blow, and Christelle.
Allegedly.
So...
Is that crystal? Crystal meth?
Yeah. I said Christelle champagne.
Right.
She said, it's not like I bloody need school anyway. I could have been DJing until 1 a.m. and home in Kent by 1:45.
Yeah, but with whom?
I could have earned good money and made it to school. It's just so infuriating.
Infuriating?
I just threw that in.
Infuriating.
Infuriating.
Yeah.
So
no, I can see you saying infuriating.
It's infuriating.
It's a word I learnt in a beeper.
A beeper?
Yeah.
And a... feel for me while I choke to death.
That's okay.
La la la, la la la, la la la.
Yeah, look, maybe a station ID or something like that would have been more appropriate.
A walk in the Black Forest.
Get this stupid program off the air.
Part of the junk collective.
Friggin' awesome. Nice. I like it. I might play the next track after that too, if you don't mind.
I think he's talking about the licious thing there. Okay, sorry, continue.
So, a source close to Peaches.
Oh, yes.
Who may well have been Ping.
Could have been Ping.
Said Peaches feels Bobby's being far too strict.
I thought she just said Peaches feels Bobby.
Peaches feels Bob, and he's being far too strict. But he is determined she doesn't lose her way with her studies.
Hmm.
I think you misunderstand. She's not feeling Bob. She's just getting a bit of Bob on, if you get the drift.
You're with it now.
She's
yeah.
bobbing.
She also had a Friday night residency at a members-only club in London somewhere. Hmm. But
was it a gentleman's members-only club?
It doesn't say gentleman.
It's involved whips and chains.
It may do or may not do.
Mm.
It doesn't say here, so that may be the case.
Yeah.
If we were journalists, we'd know.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. And it was a residency, but she couldn't do the residency for a couple of weeks because she was grounded.
Oh, bastard. Yeah, imagine that,
cancelling a gig.
Bob's a hard-ass father.
What? I'm sorry, the Trash Pussies will not be performing on our stage this evening. One of the DJs has been grounded.
Why? Can I ask, of all the things we've heard Peaches get up to, what the friggin' hell did she do to get grounded?
It doesn't say here.
Maybe a bit of bobbing on or something.
Well,
Bin Laden.
Who did she do?
Exactly.
I don't know. And so what she's done, she used to announce all her gigs on her MySpace page.
Yep.
But, which is, what is it? What's it called? What's her MySpace page?
Metalspace.
I don't know. I read it.
Trashpussies.com?
I don't know. Just look up...
I think it's actually MySpace Trashpussies.
No, look up Peaches site MySpace.com, I would imagine.
Hmm.
Use your fucking brain. what am I? You know? What am I? A nanny? You know how to use the web. Google's there for a reason. Friggin' use it.
Fair enough. Or go to our website, walkbyforest.org.
Or I could sit here and go, oh... It's www.myspace.com /PEACHES. Or, if it's not that, it could be /IAMPEACHES. Or, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's www.myspace.com /IAMACOCK. It could be anything. Who knows? Or, I could type in www.googlee.com and type in friggin' Peaches.
I'm sorry I asked. I really am.
I mean, come on!
I'm sorry I asked.
How's my levels?
I will actually say, or we could put the link on walkbyfrost.org.
See, that's why I was friggin' asking.
We could do that.
You see, I was building up to something.
You were?
I'm against giving out URLs on air. Search engines are there for a reason.
Okay.
And
except ours? Can we give
who
ours?
Who writes down URLs?
Can we give ours, though?
Given out on air. Oh, if you want to check it out, write down such and such.
They might be sitting in front of the web
now. Oh, I'm driving home in my car. How am I going to write that down?
They might be sitting at home.
In front of the World Wide Web. They can friggin' type
get
it into
mobile,
Google then, couldn't they?
They're going to get their mobile out and check it out on their mobile.
Oh, yeah, 3GP,
yeah.
Right. Should I move on now?
Yeah, go on.
Bum, 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 bum.
Who needs a paddle wiper? That's what I have to say. Who needs them?
Completely bypassed. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Look, I'm still here, big boy.
Really?
Yeah, really.
All right.
I actually hear Peach's machine isn't kept very clean.
No.
I hear that
she doesn't clean her stylus.
Well, apparently she cleans Ping's stylus.
No longer.
No.
Ping, I'm sure she probably still
ping.
Does.
Should I continue with the friggin'...
I don't know. Do you want to continue?
You guys are just taking the piss out of it and making comedy out of it.
Oh, no, it's unfortunate, isn't it?
Isn't that the point?
I think it is the point, really.
I'm completely lost.
I just want to get back to the straight sort of reporting.
Certainly,
of serious,
go for it.
Your serious news
go
articles.
For it. I'm going to give you officially another 15 seconds. What are you saying?
No. I've got. Yeah, I can't. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Do you want me to get my bag and get something out?
You see,
or would you like me to just take my pants off now?
You've got to understand the whole use of hand signals.
I know, but that's the beauty of Woober.
It's smoke and fucking mirrors.
Yeah, but I like turning the mirror on our audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look, it's a mirror. Take a big, deep look at yourself.
The mystery.
And then think, why are you listening?
People don't like to look at themselves.
They don't?
Well, why have they got friggin' mirrors in their house?
To look at other people.
To see the
goat. Have you got a mirror in your bathroom, Pete?
Yes, I do.
Have you got a mirror in your bathroom?
No.
I don't either.
Actually, I do, but
I've got a photo of me.
It's to see dead people.
Saves having to clean the window. What?
Dead people. The dead people that walk behind me.
Can you just turn him off for a sec? Yeah, right, good.
Cool. Dead people! Speaking of which, hi, welcome to my world. Oh, bloody hell.
So,
get on with it!
Okay. So she's been banned from that, banned from this, banned from that. Oh, yeah, so on her website, on her MySpace site, anyone know what the URL for that is?
Www.
No, would be the correct So on her MySpace, she used to plug all her gigs on her MySpace.
Yep.
It's not the only thing she used to plug.
How many references?
You seem to have a theme.
How many dick jokes can you make?
So anyway, back to me. You see, what's actually happened here is they seem to have misunderstood the whole point. Oh, fine.
Get your grid off the stylus. Fluff on the stylus. She's cleaning fluff off the stylus.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, don't pick on me, be nice.
He comes crawling. He comes crawling back. He comes crawling back. I love the raised eyebrow. It's beautiful.
Now,
the mystery of radio.
Peaches.
Yes.
On her website, which is
www.myspace-iamaskankyhoe.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She used to publicize all the gigs whenever she used to get a gig. They play regularly.
I suck DJ.
She used to put it on her MySpace page.
Yes.
But
visual gag in here. Visual gagging. I don't think Richard is. Are you capable of continuing?
Yeah, I'm more than capable of
continuing.
Really?
Otherwise, Abe's just going to try and crack you up again. Or at least make
you
laugh.
So, on her MySpace page, she used to publicise all her gigs. She used to promote all the gigs, right?
Yeah.
Put her gigs out there.
Mm. Yep.
I'm playing here, I'm playing there.
Yep.
I'm playing with everyone here.
Look,
and there.
I'm so kind to this man.
You are, you
I give him so many lead ins.
Yes.
And, you know, he only takes half of them.
I know.
What can you do?
I was taking the lead in.
So she puts up on her MySpace page where she's playing all the time.
Yep.
But get this, Bob's been reading it.
So
he knows where she's playing.
He can use the internet.
Yeah. And she thought that this obscure website, MySpace,
which no one's ever heard of,
nobody would know.
Yeah, it's
so she could promote her gigs there, and no one would know that they're
on.
What
it is? It's a secret community.
It's a secret community. Yeah. It's a cult.
It's a cult. Yes, exactly.
So, sneakily, Bobby's been reading the MySpace page, so he knows when she's been sneaking out at night and doing gigs.
Really?
So the last one she said, yeah, we're playing up in, we've got this club opening in Scotland that we're going to play next week, but don't tell anyone, because we don't want my dad to find out.
She's a bright spark.
Yeah, and then the very next day it was, right, they're not going to publicise any gigs on MySpace again.
Oh, that's sad.
She keeps getting in trouble.
Aww.
Well, that's the end of Peaches being famous then. Mm. Or infamous, as the case may be.
Oh, far from it. So let's talk about Bob for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have time to talk about Bob?
Yes.
Good.
Bob's
in a short film about himself.
I don't want to get to this, too.
I know.
I'll do it very quickly then.
Okay.
Bob's in a short film about himself called I Am Bob.
Yep.
It's a mate of his, and the premise is that Bob is lost and stranded. Mm-hmm. The real Bob Geldof is lost and stranded. He accidentally walks into a building for some reason. It doesn't explain why here.
Mm-hmm.
And finds himself in the middle of a lookalike contest.
Yep.
So he enters himself as Bob Geldof, hoping to get enough money for a train fare, and competes against lookalikes of Osama bin Laden, Winston Churchill, Mother Teresa, Elvis Presley, George Michael, and Mr. Spock, and hoping that he'll be the winner, being the best impersonation of Bob Geldof, but he's really the real Bob Geldof.
That's singularly the most self-absorbed piece of
inane
shit.
Who's Dr. Tim Rice?
The lyricist Tim Rice.
Oh, right, it'd be him then.
Yeah.
His son Donald is doing it.
Oh, there we go.
Donald Rice.
His daughter's in a band called Moya.
Oh, right. Mm. Really? Moya? Yeah,
Moya. Mm.
I thought you were going to call them the Slush Pussies for a second.
Frenzel Rome.
When they used
Do You Want to Fight Me?
When they used to be good.
About 10 minutes to the hour of 12 o'clock here on 888.5 FM. This is Walk in the Black Forest, or more colloquially known as Woobuff. Which I don't think we've actually used on air.
Really?
Woobuff. Anyway.
Woobuff.
Not in this batch. I don't think in this batch of shows that we've actually used the phrase Woobuff.
I call it Woobuff at the top of the show, you moron.
Did you? Well, as I said, I don't listen to what you say. Al Gore's been in the country this week.
Okay, let's just clarify that. You haven't said it.
No, that's true. I haven't said it. It's probably the first time I've said it.
So that's more a reflection of your inability to perform radio, pretty
that's
much.
That's pretty much right. Yeah, I accept that
just
entirely.
Just wanted to get that right.
Yeah, no, I accept that
being
entirely.
Being a journalist.
Fair enough. Al Gore's been in the country this week and, interestingly, has evoked a number of responses from our environmentally aware and globally sound government.
Oh, yes, they are. All of that, actually.
I just want to read you a
I'd
few...
I'd love 10 minutes with his wife in a room, just her
Tipper.
And me.
Yeah. Tipper. Yeah, well, I see, I judge the man, not his wife, I reckon. I'm going for Al, not for Tipper, because Tipper's a, you know, just mentioned the PMRC, and that's all I need to say. Anyway, Ian McFarlane, Minister for Industry, was quoted as saying that Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, is one man's interpretation of fact, and I guess while that can be classed as non-fiction, maybe, it can also be classed as not correct. Was a comment from Ian McFarlane. Ian McFarlane says, there are three places I do not go for advice on climate change. One of them is to unsuccessful candidates for the US presidency who cannot even convince their own people that they are right. The second place is the movie, and the third place is the Labor Party, who will promote a policy that will cost Australia jobs. Interestingly, of course, he was a Tanya Plibersek, member for Sydney, I think.
Your local member.
She may be. Was thrown out of Parliament for interjecting as McFarlane said that he would not ask someone who could not win an election for advice on climate change. I thought I'd do a little bit of research. Ian McFarlane is actually speaking from a position of authority on this. Ian McFarlane has actually never lost an election.
Right.
Fair point. He's been elected four times for the National Party.
Good on him.
Never lost an election.
Mm. But is he a tosser?
Totally. But anyway, but I think that goes without saying he's in the Liberal cabinet. Interesting, he is obviously slurring the record of Al Gore. Al Gore won two elections as vice president, as we know. he did win in 2000 well over 50% of the popular vote in the election for president, with over 500,000 more votes than George W. Bush.
Interesting that he didn't actually win.
But he didn't win, yeah. Mm. He lost on the Electoral College 271 to 266, which is, funnily enough, the exact numbers that were involved in Florida. Gore defeated Stanley Rogers in his Democratic primary in 1974. He was won again in 78, 1980, 82, 84, and served as a senator for Tennessee until 1993 when he became vice president. Won, lost election. John Winston Asshole Howard... I think the Winston's wrong. In 1967, he entered as a candidate for the state suburban seat of Des Moines in this wonderful local area where we happened to... Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Which at the time was held by ALP. At the election in February 1968, John Howard was defeated by the ALP candidate.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, little Johnny.
He didn't get elected again until 1974.
That's a fair while.
So 6 years after his first defeat.
So that's a number of
elections.
Of course,
we know he lost the 1987 election. On the Joe for PM, back of the Joe PM campaign. He did lose the leadership of his own party three times, but of course has been the unwavering dictator of the Liberal Party since 1996.
Dictator
being the appropriate word. Now,
because you actually know why.
Yeah.
There's no other option.
So here's the thing. Ian McFarlane says that he will not listen to an electoral loser.
They're all the same.
He will not listen to an electoral loser. On climate change.
Yeah, exactly.
Why the hell is he listening to John Howard?
Very good point. Now, interestingly enough...
Not funny, but a good point.
Yeah, that was a good 10-minute segment, Pete. Now, good tag. I like the tag at the end.
Interestingly enough...
The fact that John Howard's a moron.
Yeah. But
that's an interesting twist that you put into the story there. I particularly like the research that led to that twist.
I tell you, I went through about eight different
fucking websites to get all that.
I can imagine.
However, interestingly, at the same
it's
time...
Nice. They should put that in the paper.
They should. They, funnily enough, don't. Yeah. John Howard
column,
said...
Column 8.
John Howard said he wasn't actually going to watch the film because he doesn't take policy advice from films. I'm sure he's seen Snakes on a Plane, though. Mm. And Kim Beazley, of course, has seen it. He actually saw it at a screening earlier in the weekend. He praised Al Gore. But interestingly, the comments that have come out of Australia, the Australian media, have almost been identical to the comments that came out of the American media when the movie opened in June in the US.
I think that's called copy-paste.
I think it is. Mm. Bush was asked whether he would watch it. He says, I doubt it. We need to set aside whether or not greenhouse gases have been caused by mankind or because of natural effects.
I actually think it has to do with the dinosaurs.
Which is an interesting one, I thought.
Well, engines have naturally developed.
They have. Yeah. It's an evolution. No, it's not evolution, though. No. It's an intelligent design.
Yeah, but there's a threat of extinction because for some reason all the oil's disappearing.
Yeah, I know.
See, so their main food source is becoming more scarce.
Exactly. So we need to be able to fix that up.
Yeah.
See, what happened was, there was dinosaurs, right? And then Adam and Eve turned up with the dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs were causing a greenhouse effect. So Adam and Eve killed the dinosaurs, and there weren't any more, and that's how it worked, that, you know, humans evolved. So what's happening now is, there's all these terrorists, and they're causing the greenhouse effect, because it's a natural effect, and so we have to kill them.
Mm. I think so. Mm.
Works to me.
What's also fascinating, of course, is the reaction that a lot of this was mentioned by Gore last night on, he was on Enough Rope last night, being interviewed by Denton, you know, sort of Denton's vaguely odd Dentonish way. But I tried to be polite about that. But
I think it's a good interview.
There's Gore talking about
he just hates him.
Yeah, no, exactly.
No. Is it a sexual thing?
It is. But what was fascinating? Is it amazing that we both agreed to that comment?
No.
There was an interesting thing that they showed from
hard to live up to sometimes. Yeah.
From this Washington think tank that put out an ad that was funded by ExxonMobil, and the ad
it
was
is a think. That's not a think tank. That's a rethink tank. Where they just do what they're
told. A petrol tank. Mm. But there was an interesting line in it about how they're trying to debunk the science of inconvenient truth. And they're basically saying that, you know, Al Gore in his movie Inconvenient Truth says that, you know, carbon dioxide is causing global warming. But carbon dioxide is what we all breathe out every day and what trees breathe in. Al Gore calls it pollution. We call it life.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
that's the sort of spin that's coming out.
That's actually beautiful. Brilliant spin.
That wins elections.
That it probably will. And it ain't going to win it for Al Gore, that's for sure.
Yeah.
2008.
Sounds like he's really trying. But, you know, as much as I hate... Can I use the word? That's a strong word, isn't it?
Hate is a strong word.
As much
word.
As I hate Al Gore, because as you alluded to before... Not alluded, you basically said but didn't really follow up on... His wife, Tipper Gore, is a right-wing fundamentalist Christian who invented the little adult advisory stickers that we get on CDs these days.
The Tipper
stickers, as they're so-called. Mm-hmm. And she was also, you know, hanging out with all the other right-wing conservative fundamentalist Christian women in Washington at that time.
Yeah.
So while he's doing good work... Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to just be careful about what the message is, I think. But well, in this case,
I mean, his message, I think, is in many ways quite sensationalist, but it's the way to get it through.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do get... The film's actually opened, I think, opens on Thursday, or it may have opened last Thursday. It opens this Thursday, actually. Mm-hmm. Go see it. It's a very powerful film. I got to see it in the United States, and while there is hyperbole, and I can't deny that, it is actually incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
He's a very persuasive speaker, and you can see why he's a politician.
What I heard was, if you go into it... you'll come out with two things.
Mm.
Either you'll come out and you say, yeah, I know. When are they going to fucking solve this? We know already. Or you're going to come out and say, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and
it's not going to convert anybody, is it?
No, it's not. But the people who sit there and go, yeah, right, are the ones who are going to get in their Hummers and drive home.
I haven't seen a Hummer in Australia.
I haven't you?
Have you really?
There's a guy who has one up the road here.
Yeah. I've seen stretch Hummers in this country too.
Mm.
A stretch Hummer.
A stretch Hummer.
Mm. That sounds painful, having a stretch Hummer.
This has been a Walking Away for us. We shall be back next week. Check out our website.
As it's been minimally called.
Check out our website, www.whatblackforest.org.
Oh, we didn't do a mailbag. I'll do it next week.
And for those of you who are following on from the Hurricane Katrina thing that we talked about last week, listen at 7 p.m. tomorrow night here on 2RRR. There's a 1 hour DJ mix set from 7 o'clock on bits and pieces and grabs from Hurricane Katrina. There we go. That's all I need to
say. Cool. 7 o'clock tomorrow?
7 o'clock tomorrow.
Nice.
Mm.
Good night, honkies.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back. I don't know.
Night, my people.
Hi, this is called Us Filling, because it's called professional radio, which we actually attempt to do here at 2RRR, but sometimes... What? Oh, he just gave me the finger. Yes.
You're listening to Ride Regional Radio Cooperative, otherwise known as 2RRR. Yes, that's our call sign. You can find us in Ride Regional Areas.
That's good.
One is called Gladesville, and that's where we are, in Gladesville. Mm. If you want to come down to Henley Cottage and have it on with Abe...
may as well.
He doesn't charge too much. He gives Pete and I special rates, but I'm sure the normal public rates aren't too expensive. Is that right, Abe?
Look, I think so.
And I can personally vouch for Abe's cleanliness and professionalism. And I can't guarantee that you'll definitely be satisfied by the services that Abe provides, I can certainly vouch for his enthusiasm and partial professionalism in the way that he delivers sperm.
A walk in the Black Forest, returning next week to 2RRR 88.5 FM.